we are going to talk about something that's been raised by the Ombudsman, Gerard Deering, who Gerry spoke to a number of weeks ago, who said that the continued denial of access to personal transport supports for people with disabilities is nothing short of shameful. In his report, that Gerard Deering said he and previous ombudsmen have been demanding reforms from the government in this area for 12 years, but nothing has happened. Basically, he's referring to the motorised transport grant, which closed back in February, 10 years ago, back in 2013. Now, this was a means-tested payment for people with disabilities who needed to buy a car so they could keep working. Nothing has happened in the past 10 years to change this matter. And the Irish Examiner reported one particular case of Lee Gath, who is a thalidomide survivor and advocate. She was given a vehicle registration tax bill of over €23,000 for having to import an adapted vehicle from Britain. To discuss this, we're joined on the line by Terry O'Brien, who works for the Irish Wheelchair Association and who also is a Labour councillor for the Tralee Municipal District. Good morning to you, Terry, and thank you for joining us on the show this morning. Terry, why hasn't anything happened in 10 years?
Morning, Tracy. How are you and your listeners? Just before we start, I'm just disappointed to hear that it was Radio Kerry that made all those town criers redundant. That was a great admission this morning, Tracy. Come here to me. I saw this piece in the Examiner. I spoke with your producer, Mark, yesterday. Look, this is, you know, every so often this raises its head and it's so disappointing, you know, because the costs of someone like myself or that lady in Limerick to get on the road are just astronomical. You know, between the adaption to the car, firstly purchasing the car, then getting the car adapted, the insurance and everything that goes with that. So the supports that are needed are not there. You know, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the people with disabilities were celebrating that the government had ratified the United Nations Conventions of Rights, the rights of persons with disabilities. Now, I'm not sure what rights they're on about, but they're certainly missed the boat this time. And I was delighted to see the ombudsman, Mr. Deering, reading this, writing this and basically slamming the government, because it's quite what's happening out there is crazy, because there would be an element of people with disabilities who would be able to drive who just don't even entertain it because of the costs, and this would be preventing them from taking part in everyday life, from going into employment, etc. And again, it's putting the long finger the whole time. Now, as you said, my employer is the Irish Wheelchair Association, and we have been meeting recently and we've been speaking to the minister about this, and we're trying to highlight it, but really there's nothing definitive back yet, but it needs to come. Really, I can give you a quick example. Trust, in 2007, which is what, 16 years ago, I bought a van myself. The van cost me 30,000 to buy, and to adapt it cost me 40,000,
so 70,000
for the van, and I got 11,000 back off that. So 50, the bonus is 60 grand for a van to help me get to work, etc. You know, and again, there's no support after that. So it's a little bit frustrating, because, and again, so if I'm going to work and I'm happy, if something happens to my van tomorrow, I can't just go up to Nissan or up to one of the garages above and say, right, here, lads, my car is broken down, give me another one. It just doesn't work that way. And this woman, she had to go to England because the technology in my van and her car is very... I think there's only one person in Ireland, maybe two, who can actually connect that stuff. So it's frightening and sad. And you know, transport is very... it's always very hot topic with people with disabilities. If you just think about the wage of taxis and trains and buses in Kerry. You know, people in Dublin will be shouting the loudest and they don't know how good they have in the cities, because they've got lower floor buses and they have access to these, you know, the Lewis, and the trains are a lot better there. But people in rural areas, they really need their cars. They really need to be able to get on the road. And this just makes it impossible, really. Impossible.
Now, you work for the Irish Wheelchair Association, but Terry, you're also a Labour councillor, a Labour County councillor. Your party, Labour, was part of that government in 2013, the Fine Gael Labour Coalition, that decided to close the motorised transport grant. And it hasn't been replaced since. That must put you in a very awkward position, given the fact that it was your own party who was part of the decision.
No problem, 100% I accept that, but go back to the press at the time, it was being stopped because they were going to bring in some more equitable payment that would have been fair to everyone, and it was in the process, it was being done. That was it, that was the last we heard of it. which was crazy, because I think people at that time with disabilities were being a bit patient, saying, oh, they're going to come back with something fair. And that's 10 years ago, and there's been nothing done since. So yeah, 100% I agree. That was the last time that Labour were in power. But yeah, the understanding then was they were going to shuffle the whole lot and make it fair, because it's not fair. It's just at the moment, it's we're the forgotten few when it comes to transport, really, you know.
And why do you think people with disabilities, why do you think this matter has not been addressed in over 10 years now?
You know, I don't know, Tressa. I mean, they're on about huge costs. They're not. I mean, I suppose the statistics nationally for years have been one in every 10 people have a disability. But that's not the way with physical disability. There's a lot less. And again, people like myself and that lady in Limerick, Lee Gaff, there might be 20, 25 of us in the country a year that would like to change their van. And come here, if you're paying 16, 17, I think she was near 90,000 for her car altogether. You won't change that every year, Tressa. You won't change a car or a van that costs that much every year. Well, you will if you win the lotto, but you won't be changing it otherwise. That's why I changed my van. I got it in 07. I changed it, I think, at 11, 12 years out of it. Because I couldn't afford to do it again, so we had to take a loan out to get the van. So it's crazy stuff, really, and it's not seen. I suppose it's frightening, and it's something that people take for granted. That can you jump into a car and drive away. It's not that simple for people with disabilities, you know.
Could you explain, Terry, for example, in your own van, how, like, as you said, very specialised mechanics and car experts, there's only a couple in the country who would be able to repair your van if there's any problem. Can you talk about some of the specialised equipment in it that you had to get in for to allow you drive and have your independence, transport independence?
100%, obviously, because of the level of my disability. I've got remote control door openers in the back, and this ramp comes out. So it's like the space shuttle, you know. You often see young kids staring with their mouths open because it's like a gadget or a gimmick. So you get in, and then there's a special tie-down system for my wheelchair which holds me down. I have a special accelerator and brake control that goes in my hand. That control can cost up to £25,000 for that one control. If you're braking your accelerator, the light and the steering to a level that's, you know, very, very, very light and dangerous if it was someone like yourself driving, because it's so light, then all the controls have to be brought closer to me, you know, the gears, the windows, everything. I have to have that on. So it's all adapted. It's very high technology, like. And as you know, the more you use, the more it costs. So it's certainly something that's been missed, because like that woman, she got the van from England, and she probably brought it from England because of the amount of technology she uses. So she paid $23,000 to bring it in. I mean, that payment alone should have been just said, look, this is for her to keep working and get her out there. But they don't. They don't see that. It's a money-making machine for them to get that kind of money coming off them. You know, and all that goes with that. Like, I have a hand control tracer on my right hand as I'm driving. It's a brake, forward for brake, back to accelerate. I got that serviced 3 weeks ago in Dublin. It cost me the bones of €750 all in, just to get the box serviced. I had to get the lift service maybe a month ago, another €200. So the bones of €1,000 for those two. That's not servicing the van or the tires of the van or like every other person's bill. So it's crazy. It's very expensive to drive. They really, really need to do it. I'm delighted Joe Deering is on it, because I think they're just turning deaf ears to people with disabilities.
And was it the Minister of Finance that the Irish Wheelchair Association, your organisation, has been in discussions with about restoring or reviving a grant for people with disabilities who need to have their vehicles updated and specialised and meet their needs and to pay for them?
Yeah, it was the Minister of Finance, and he was giving us a good ear, etc. Now, to be honest, Tress, I was called yesterday evening, so I didn't get a chance to get back out where he was. Now, he was giving a good ear. But I suppose, Tress, it's so different, because my disability is very different to the next person with disability. So it's probably a little bit specialised. You probably have to have someone who knows, you know, it's not black and white. There are some grey areas with the different disabilities that are there, but it's certainly something. It's not rocket science. You know what I mean? And obviously you have engineers and mechanics who'll be able to tell, you know, give you a report saying this is what Terry needs to drive a van, blah, 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 that's the cost of the van, and give a fair, you know what I mean? As I said, I won't be changing my van every year or two because of the cost. And that woman, Lee Gaff, and I make sure she certainly won't be changing that car every 2 or 3 years. Not at the cost, you know?
And you're saying that the numbers of people actually involved who need these financial supports to have a vehicle adapted for their needs, for their particular needs, there isn't a lot. So you would say, look, why has there been this lack of action over the past decade? It's not actually going to cost the state that much.
Yeah, well, you see, the high-tech ones are the ones I'm saying there's not a lot. But there would be a lot of people who use, you know, simple hand controls, push and pull for accelerator brake and all these different more simple adaptations, which wouldn't cost as much. But even they stay away from by changing the vehicles because of the cost, etc. But, it's certainly a piece of literature or a piece of legislation that they need to go back to quickly and look at it and say, let's be fair to everyone here, because really, I suppose it is a form of discrimination, you know?
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.